Today we're going to be looking at another parable. I hope you're enjoying these parables as much as I am. These stories the Lord Jesus told to illustrate truth. Now, the series we're on, the section of parables that we're on, are parables that are dealing with judgment. And we're going to read today in Matthew 21 and verse 33. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country." Now when vintage time drew near, in other words, the time to harvest grapes, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, stoned another. Then he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. And last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They, that is the listeners, said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you, that is from you Jews, and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it, and whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet. Interesting parable, isn't it? A man here has a vineyard. He puts a lot of work into that vineyard. It says he, first of all, he plants it, he clears the land, he readies the soil, and then he plants his vineyard. He plants out his grapes. And he puts a hedge around it to protect it, a wall. He gets prepared for fruit, he digs a wine press, and he builds a tower for protection, where those who are caring for it, especially during harvest time, they would have a man often stationed there to watch so that there would be no stealing or anything like this take place. So he plants his vineyard and then he waits for fruit. Now, what is the parable about? Interesting, too, that this parable is one of just three that are found in all three synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's only two other parables found in these three gospels, and that is that are shared by all three. So it's an important parable, and it's one that has real significance. What is the vineyard? When he speaks of the vineyard, what is he talking about? What does Jesus have in mind? Is this a new figure? Is it something that's familiar to them? When he speaks of the vineyard, what is Jesus talking about? Well, it was a familiar figure to them. It was one that was used of Israel. Isaiah, for example, used it in Isaiah 5. He says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes." And Isaiah uses that same figure, and he's speaking here of Israel. And he's saying, God has taken special care of you. He has chosen you in a very special way to be his people. He's given you advantages. He's poured out upon you special care. He's put a wall around you, the protection of the law of God. He has dug a wine press because he's expected fruit. Now, what would we say the fruit is that he's expecting here? Well, Isaiah obviously speaks of the fact that he's expecting godliness in the people of Israel. He's expecting true worship. As he goes on to say in verse 7 of that Isaiah 5, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice. In other words, he looked for righteousness. He looked for godly living. He looked for a nation that was characterized by holiness. And what did he find? It says, behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, weeping or wailing. And so God, in the figure used by Isaiah, is disappointed. He says, I've lavished so much care, I've lavished so much attention on Israel. You're not producing for me. You're not being marked by godliness. You're not being marked by holiness. You're being marked by oppression, by injustice, by sin. And God's upset. So the figure Jesus is using is a very familiar one from the Old Testament. And God is concerned now for fruit. And who are the servants he sends? When it's time for the harvest, it says he sends his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. In other words, he expected to get something from his investment. He expected there to be a harvest. But what happened? It says that these who were vine dressers, these who were in charge of the vineyard, in other words, while the owner was gone, took his servants and they beat one, killed one, stoned another. They mistreated the servants. And they said, in effect, we refuse to acknowledge the authority of the owner. And we're going to do what we want to do. And they rebelled, you see, against his servants. Now, who are these farmers or leaders? Well, I think you can say that they're obviously the leaders here of Israel that he's speaking against, the preachers and teachers. Because in verse 45 of Matthew 21, it says, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they understood he was speaking of them. And they said, oh, yeah, he's speaking against us. In other words, they got the sense of it. They said, the parable is directed toward us. And so God is indicting here. And the Lord Jesus is indicting the leaders, the spiritual leaders. He says, you ought to be leading the people. You ought to be teaching them and leading them in the ways of God. But instead, the religious establishment, instead of doing that, how did they respond to God? Well, when he sent his servants, and his servants here are no doubt the prophets that came down through the years. God sent prophet after prophet. These prophets preached repentance. They cried to the people to turn from their sin, you know, and turn back to God and turn back to holiness and back to righteousness. And what treatment did they get? Well, they were mistreated, they were abused, they were killed, they were rejected. It was almost universally the treatment of the prophet. And Jesus recognized that. And so here he is saying, here God, over who is the owner of the vineyard, has sent to you, Israel, who have been so blessed, who have been shown special attention by God, who have been given the law of God. And God's expected something out of your lives. He's expected holiness. He's expected you to be a godly people. And you're not. And so the prophets came and with messages of judgment, and crying out against sin. Read the Old Testament prophets. And you hear that note over and over again. But instead of, you see, taking this to heart, they rejected the message of the prophets. They rejected the prophets. They abused them, killed them, imprisoned them, ridiculed them. But by and large, they failed to listen to to the message. Now, we have to say that today, if I could make an application, that, a church is like a vineyard for God. And God expects fruit from his people. He expects them to be a holy, godly people. And he expects the leaders to set the pace. And he expects them to be godly men and women. He's looking for fruit from his people. Now, the prophets then are stoned or beaten. And it just seems that as time went on, the treatment of the prophets was worse and worse. Just a rejection, an utter rejection, you see, of the authority of God over them, of their responsibility to God. They, in effect, said, we can live our lives and we're going to do what we want, and we're the religious leaders, and we don't want any prophet coming here telling us what to do, telling us what's right or wrong. A rejection, you see, of that authority. Now, finally, the Lord Jesus said, the owner of the vineyard says, I'm going to send my son, and surely they'll listen to him. They'll respect him. And when they see the son, they said, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him. And they caught him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. And the Lord, he was predicting his own death. You know, after all the prophets had come, Jesus himself comes, the Son of God, and he pleads with Israel, and he brings before Israel all the claims of God. John the Baptist came saying, repent, believe the gospel. And Jesus repeated the same message. And what was the treatment? They took him and killed him, nailed him to a cross, spit on him, cursed him, mocked him, ridiculed him, turned away from him. And Christ here is predicting his own death. Now, it says they knew it was the Son. They rejected the Son of God. What a terrible thing it is. Now, he says here God's going to judge. He judged Israel. And he's turned to the Gentiles. And let me say this, too, that God is going to judge his people today. The churches, the people who've heard the word of God, they're responsible. The Lord says, listen, I'm looking for godliness and I'm looking for holiness in you. And don't think you can just turn away lightly from your accountability to God. And let me say this. If you've never turned to the Lord Jesus, it'd be wonderful if you would accept him and put your life under his authority and begin to bring forth fruit for God. May the Lord help you to do it.